This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Starship Super Heavy. Bob Zimmerman arrives to give us a date and an ambition for the next test of Boca Chica to on their way to the moon and Mars. Bob, a very good evening to you. Starship Super Heavy, scheduled for middle of October. What's the mission this time? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and yes, SpaceX this week issued an update on what it plans to do, and including in that update is a target date. They're aiming for October 13th for the 11th orbital test flight of Starship Super Heavy. They have been doing static fire tests on the launch pad of Starship. They're getting ready. That update told us basically this flight will be very similar to the last flight that was really quite successful. Everything, they got all their engineering goals achieved. Nothing bad happened that was unexpected. And they're basically going to repeat that for a variety of reasons, but they're going to do a few extra things. For example, they're going to reuse the Super Heavy. The Super Heavy that will fly flew on the eighth flight and was recovered. I think it was the eighth flight. And it's going to, when it comes back, they're not going to catch it on chopsticks. It's going to once again land in the Gulf, off the coast, in a vertical soft landing. That's what they hope, like they did previously. But in the return, they're going to be testing a range of engine firing configurations. This is to give them more information about how to bring it back and how they can use its 33 engines in different combinations to control it when it's flying. And so when it returns, it will, first of all, it's going to be using, of its 33 engines, 24 that are reused. So obviously this reused Super Heavy, they had to replace seven different engines for a variety of reasons, but 24 are going to be reused. And this is part of the engineering, figuring that out. On its way back, it will start off firing, when it starts to return to Earth, it'll start off firing with 13 engines. Previously, they only worked with a small number. Then it'll reduce that number to only five as it comes down. And then just before landing, it'll reduce it again to three. And they're doing this to get a better idea of how the thing flies and how to control it and how the engines work. And it gives them greater flexibility on future returns. And it'll be coming back to the close to Boca Chica, but it won't be, once again, captured. They're going to reuse this booster and do tests of the entrance, but let it go into the ocean. Starship will basically repeat its previous flight, more or less. They will deploy a dummy Starlink satellite testing deployment system. They'll relight one of the Raptor engines once again to prove they can relight and fire again in orbit. This is essential capability needed if they're going to go into a full orbit. They've got to be able to control the reentry and come back where they want. And they will be testing once again the thermal protection system, the tiles, in a variety of combinations, leaving tiles off in places, trying different kinds of tiles. They'll be doing that, and then they'll try to do a vertical soft landing in the ocean as the thing comes back. The key here is that a lot of this is preparing for the 12th flight, which will use the next version of Starship. This is version 2. Version 3 has got major upgrades, and that's the version they hope to be able to do orbital flights next year, and that is the version they hope to bring back to Boca Chica for a chopstick catch. And we should see that sometime next year, maybe not on the first version 3 flight, but possibly on the second or third. And so excitement is coming, John.
To Briggs, Texas, Firefly, and a setback. What happened, Bob?
Well, they were testing the Alpha rocket that Firefly has on a static fire test stand. This is in preparation for its next launch. This rocket has had mixed success. It's launched about six times, but with only two completely successful launches. Two were partially successful, but two failed. The April failure, they just completed the investigation and were approved to launch again, so they were preparing for that launch. But during the static fire test earlier this week, there was an explosion at the base of the rocket. They lost the first stage and they lost the test stand in a major explosion. This is a problem. They need now a new first stage. They've got to figure out what went wrong, and they're going to have to rebuild the test stand. We're not sure how much damage to the stand occurred. No one was hurt, but if it requires a major rebuild, it's going to take time. And so that's where they stand. It's an unfortunate thing. The company has a successful Blue Glow lander, and they have a lot of satellite technology, and they've done a lot of stuff, but their rocket continues to give them problems in some way or another.
Dream Chaser, a fabulous name. I've liked it the moment I met it, but it's gone. What happened?
It's, I don't know if it's gone, but it's fading quickly. And I've noted this for years. Sierra Space originally proposed this thing back in like 12, 15. And it competed to become a human cargo ferry system to ISS. But NASA did not award it that contract. Instead, it awarded a cargo contract, much like the Cygnus capsule of Northrop Grumman. It would bring cargo back and forth. And it's a little mini reusable shuttle concept. And this is a concept that's actually been test flown back in the 70s. And they've been trying to build it now for almost a decade. And it's been constantly delayed. It was supposed to fly in 20, then 21, then 22, then 23. In 24, they were preparing it, ground tests, just the last ground test before you put it on a rocket and launch it. And when they started those tests, silence for a year. Plus, no answer, no explanation, which has made me speculate that they found in those ground tests some fundamental problem with it that is going to be too expensive then to fix. NASA has been hanging out, waiting. Well, last week it announced it's had enough. It's canceled its cargo contract with Sierra Space. It will not use Dream Chaser at any point to bring cargo to ISS, not at this point at least. And the first demo mission will not dock with ISS as planned. If Sierra Space wants to fly Dream Chaser, it's going to be a free-flying mission, and NASA will provide minimal support to the remainder of its development and flight demonstration. NASA is, in fact, not going to pay for it. The company says it's going to try to do this free-flying test flight where it would go up and it would then come down and land on a runway sometime in late 26. But we'll have to wait and see. This has been a tragedy to lose this, but that's where we are, John.
I don't like the sounds of this, Bob. It sounds like there's not been full disclosure or transparency.
Yes.
Something.
Oh, without question. There's no question. Based on, they were saying they were going to launch last spring and they were going to do ground testing that should take a few months, but once you've done the ground testing, it shouldn't show up any serious problems if you designed properly. Then you should launch. But instead, silence. And silence for more than a year, and ground testing doesn't take that long. So that indicates the ground testing, vibration testing, environmental testing, various testing to see if the thing will function as it's launched and after launch and in space. My speculation is they found something fundamentally wrong with it, and it's expensive to fix, and they won't talk about it. Yes, you're absolutely right. Secrecy here.
And I don't like secrecy because that means there might be something that was misleading. All right, we'll come back to it because commercial space has its successes and has its less than successful. All right. A Canadian rocket startup postponed. Why?
All right. So this is a series. We got a bunch of stories that are European or international in nature about commercial space. There are two spaceports that are trying to develop in Canada. One's been around since 16 and has not gotten nothing off the ground. The other one is called the Atlantic Spaceport, is being put together by a company by NordSpace that only appeared 3 years ago. Well, they not only have gotten their spaceport established, but last week they were trying to do their first test launch, suborbital test of a smaller prototype rocket they call Taiga. And this was not an orbital launch, but it was to test out a rocket that would give them the technology to go to a full-scale orbital rocket at their spaceport. And they tried to launch twice in 2 days in a row, and both times they had fuel leaks on the ground that caused small fires. So, of course, they had to scrub the launch and clean up the mess. But after the second one, they decided they needed to postpone that launch while they figured out what was causing the leaks and so they could fix it for good so there wouldn't be a problem again. So they postponed. We got other international space stories, John. In Germany, Germany's military, you know, it does have a military nowadays, believe it or not, Germany. It is committed to spending $41 billion on its space effort through 2030. And that's a significant amount of money. And this is going to probably benefit the three German rocket startups, ISAR, Rocket Factory Augsburg, and High Impulse. It's also going to probably benefit another commercial operation that wants to establish a launch platform that would be based in Germany that would launch rockets in the North Sea. And so the German military is committing to space, John, and that's a really good thing.
We move from Germany to Italy. What are they up to?
Yeah, so there's another one. This is the rocket Italian rocket company Avio, they launched the Vega C rocket, and they've been launching the Vega family for several years, originally through Ariane Space, but now they're on their own, and they're launching it and marketing themselves. Well, they have won a $47 million study contract from the European Space Agency to develop and test a reusable upper stage. They got a picture of it. It looks like a copy, a small version of Starship Super Heavy. It would probably use their solid-fueled lower stages from their Vega C rocket, but the upper stage would be methane-fueled and be based more on the design of their not-yet-launched Vega E rocket. And they hope to do the study over the next year or two and see if they can then develop a reusable upper stage. That's Europe, once again, not trying to build it itself, but hiring private companies to do things. It's a good approach. Capitalism at work.
And the Japanese want a sample return from the moon. Good for them. What side of the moon?
And this is the more important. We don't know yet where they're going to go, but this is private enterprise once again. Two different Japanese startups. This is not the government. One is iSpace. This is a company that has attempted to land a lander on the moon twice. They didn't succeed either time, but they have three contracts with both NASA, Japan Space Agency, and the European Space Agency for future landers. They are teaming up with a Japanese orbital capsule startup called Elevation Space. This company wants to put capsules in orbit, much like Varda does, and bring them back to Earth, reentry. Well, the two companies are now teamed up, and they're going to try to do a sample return mission to the moon. That's what they say. This is very preliminary, but they're at least going to make an effort, John, and it's private enterprises to show off their capabilities. And no government money, as far as I can tell, at this point.
We're going exploring with Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.